Welcome back to the Brian Park Project from NPR News, online all the time at npr.org/Brian Park. This morning, a New York State judge announced his verdict in the trial of three undercover New York City detectives accused of charges ranging from reckless endangerment to manslaughter in the shooting death of an unarmed man named Sean Bell. The verdict was not guilty on all counts for all the officers. The detectives were working a Queens strip club when an argument broke out, and they thought they heard that Bell had a gun. After Bell and his party refused an order to stop, the three officers wound up firing a combined 50 bullets. This has become a huge story in New York. Civil rights groups have been standing vigil during the trial. Many are outside the courtroom as we speak. And they are pointing to the echoes of this case to another, of that of an unarmed man killed by police named Amadou Diallo. He was shot 41 times. Joining us now is Dolores Jones Brown, director of the Center on Race, Crime, and Justice at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Thank you for your time, Professor Brown.
Yes, I'm here.
First question is, what is your reaction to not guilty on all counts for all the officers?
I think it's a really sad day for the notion of equal justice in the United States that the behavior of at least one of those officers was not found to be criminally liable. I think it's an indictment against the Queens DA's office that their prosecutor could not secure any convictions in this case.
And you say that as a former prosecutor yourself.
And I say that as a former prosecutor myself.
In the Amadou Diallo case, there were also no convictions. Should we have expected a different outcome in this case?
I think because the behavior of at least one of the officers was qualitatively different in the behavior of the other two that were on trial, there definitely should have been a different outcome.
This was the officer that fired the most shots, over 30 of the 50 shots.
Right. Officer Michael Oliver shot 31 times, 20 bullets more than his two companions who were on trial.
Should the law look at the number of shots fired? It seems shocking and excessive, especially because Sean Bell was unarmed, meaning no one was returning fire. But should that be what the law looks at?
The justification statute actually has an exclusion for if an officer acts recklessly in his attempt to protect himself or others, he is not allowed to take advantage of the justification defense. Based on my understanding of the reasoning the judge gave for his decisions today, he said that the prosecutor failed to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the behavior was not justified. For the prosecutor to be unable to convince the judge that one officer who shoots 20 times more than his companions is acting in a reckless manner is unfathomable, and it certainly tells the community from which a Bell came that we have a certain kind of disregard for people in your community.
Well, let's back up for a second and talk a little facts and context. It is undeniable that this story was going to become a huge story. Not only was Sean Bell unarmed and shot 50 times, it was his wedding day to boot, so there's that human interest angle. And the police could not say this was unprecedented because, like I said, Amadou Diallo. But when you look at the statistics, for the last decade, the NYPD has killed, on average, 12 people a year. When you compare that to past statistics, the numbers have been going down over time. So do you see this case, as tragic as it is, as part of a larger trend?
Yes. As I said to you earlier today, it is a trend that exists across the country where inevitably the victims in these kinds of incidents are African-American and Latino people, and we cannot say there's not a race or ethnicity piece to it unless we begin to see white victims, and we haven't seen them.
One thing that always gets raised is that two of the three officers in this case were black. Is that any factor in talking about the racial aspects of the shootings?
Yes. As I said to another radio commentator, if you look at the number of bullets fired, the whiter the officer, the greater the number of bullets involved.
And in this case, Michael Oliver was the one officer who was white who was doing the firing, and he's the one who you said fired 31 shots.
That's right.
That right.
And Officer Isnora, his identity, ethnic identity, is sort of in question, but he is definitely not African-American in the same sense that Officer Cooper is.
It just seems, well, can it really be that simple? The color of the officer has that direct an effect on how he reacts to a situation or the number of shots?
We have a term in the law called res ipsa loquitur, the thing speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at the display of numbers of bullets fired during this incident, it is what it is.
That's what ipsinora means in Latin.
Right. It is what it is.
Okay. I wanted to talk about some other statistics because the NYPD keeps track of every shot fired. And in 2006, 540 discharges. That is the number of bullets that left guns of police officers in 2006. Now, if you compare this, just as we compared the total number of people killed, in 1995, there were 1,700 bullets fired by NYPD. Wouldn't that indicate that things are getting better?
The notion is that on average in 05 and 06, between 4 and 5 bullets were shot during each police incident. What then explains 31 shots being fired by one police officer in this incident and 11 shots being fired by another? Those are the statistics that the African-American community would like to know more about.
So the number of incidents where a gun is fired have gone down, but the number of shots fired per incident has gone up. How much can be explained that in the mid-90s, the NYPD went from their old six-shooter to an automatic revolver?
I think the semi-automatic revolver has everything to do with the Diallo incident and this one. And that is why the patrol guide requires that after shooting 3 times, the officers stop and reassess the threat. It did not occur in this incident, and that's another reason why the judge should have found somebody guilty of something, although it is my understanding that the patrol guide requirement that the officers stop after 3 bullets was never introduced in this trial, which, of course, would be a failure on the part of the prosecutor's office unless there was some evidential ruling made in advance of the trial that it would not be permitted to be introduced.
We talked about different factors, what made this trial big news, the tragedy and the fact that it was his wedding day and the fact that the NYPD has done this before. But there's another thing that keeps it in the news, and this is the fact that it's in New York, not only the media center of the world, but the a major person protesting this happened to have run for president and hosted Saturday Night Live. When Al Sharpton wants to bring attention to an issue, he does it better probably and more vocally than activists in other cities. But you can read the names of unarmed men who have been killed by police in cities throughout America. I could read those names. Do you think that it's just the case that other cities, it's a shame that they don't have as vocal an activist as the activist community here in New York is?
I think people give far too much negative credit to the Reverend Al Sharpton. I think one of the reasons why people have not taken to the street around this case from its inception is that they feel that they have a voice through Reverend Al.
Mm-hmm.
If he were not speaking for the people, I think we would see a situation very similar to what we saw in L.A. following the Rodney King beating and the acquittals of those officers.
And finally, so just to go back, but what you're saying there is Reverend Al Sharpton actually is a calming influence in this
Absolutely.
Case.
Absolutely.
Okay. And finally, I just wanted to know, we talked about, you mentioned the community, meaning the black community. I want to ask you a little bit about the blue community, meaning the police. They got the acquittals that they wanted for the most part in this case. Will they still somehow be able to learn from it? Did police procedures change after, for instance, the Amadou Diallo shooting? And do you think they can change after this shooting?
I have to be quite frank with you because I know a number of NYPD officers, some of whom are ranking, some of whom are not. I don't believe there is a uniform belief that this is the acquittal that they wanted. There are officers of color who have expressed that they found what happened in the Bell incident unacceptable and unexplainable. And so I think that those officers are as sad today as non-uniformed members of the African-American community.
Dolores Jones Brown, Director of the Center on Race, Crime, and Justice at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Thank you very much, Professor.
Thank you.